book of Genesis, chapter number 15. And as our custom is here, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 15. I'm interested in verse number 1 for a text verse today. Genesis 15, verse number 1. There the Bible says simply, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham," or Abram, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Thank you for standing on the rim of the Word of God this morning. I'm interested in this text phrase, "I am." And I want to preach on this thought today on the great I am still is. The great I am still is. Now notice me. The first mention in the Bible is very important to us. There's always a great teaching. It's always a great thought of that of the first mention in our Bible. And we see several of these in this area today where He said, "I am" is the first mention. I'm glad that God is everything that we will ever need. He said, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." And I sure am glad we've got a God that don't change. Now, the great I am, I want to say He still is. Now, you'll notice before He gave this opening proclamation to Abram, there was something that had made a transition in Abram's life, that God would give him a word. Isn't it a blessing that we've got a God that realizes we're human, and in great, great dark times in our life, He'll give us a word. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God's still right in this day and in this hour. And He said, "Now, after these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abram." What things? Well, you'll notice that He said, "Abram, I want you to know something." He said, "I am thy shield." Now, a shield was made out of skins. A shield was made, it came by the death and the sacrifice of another. Therefore, it represents the Lord Jesus on Calvary. There, I sure am glad that the Lord is our shield. That shield was used in battle, and by every warrior, he knew not only where his sword was, but where his shield was. Why didn't he say, "I am your sword and your shield"? Because he's done give us the sword. But he said, I want to let you know something. I'm going to be your shield. Now, notice in Abram's life, it's a great story, picks up in Genesis 13, a little background about Abram, and I'll be done preaching this morning. But I want to share with you three main thoughts about the I am still is in this day and hour. Now notice in chapter 13, we find Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been, the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which was his nephew, went with Abram, and he had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Their substance was great, so they could not dwell together because there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite, the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdmen and thine herdmen, for we be brethren." Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take to the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, I want to say about this background of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. There, as Abraham had raised him in his house, Lot seemed to forget about the pecking order. We better not forget where our bread is buttered. Because the Bible said that Abraham was the friend of God and he is the father of our faith. And it was not really what Lot possessed. Lot knowed somebody that possessed a lot. And therefore Lot got to getting a little big for his britches. We better be careful to realize that we can get too big for our britches. His first mistake, when his herdmen started having strife with Father Abraham, Lot ought to call a meeting and said, "Y'all lost your mind. I'm blessed because of this man's blessing, and y'all need to get along." Reminds me of Baptist churches splitting all across America. They need to learn to bury the hatchet and just get along for the glory of God. We must never forget where the blesser is and how our blessing has flowed from our forefathers down to us. And so Lot was raised in the tent life. He is raised around an altar. I think it's very important that we instill in your children that to pray. You say, "Well, Brother Ken, it doesn't mean much that children come going to the altar." You'll be surprised what it'll do for them next week. I'm glad we've got children that know how to bow and bend and be developed in an altar. Now, we see this thing of, he said, "I want you to know I am your shield." Something takes place. Lot's eyes got big and he moved down Sodom. And so Lot settled down and he took all his possessions with him, and all of a sudden down in Sodom they got a little big and they moved over by themselves, and there was four old wicked kings come up in the picture that wanted all of their goods. So they came and they attacked the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was dwelling in the plain. There was his nephew that was caught up in this great anarchy, this overthrow. And the Bible takes us to this thought. He says in Genesis 14, in verse number 10, he said, "The vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled the mountain. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son," or his nephew, "who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. And there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plains of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Ishkal, and brother of Aner." And these were confederate with Abram. In other words, they had a league, a bond. If there's ever been a time that the family of God needs to be confederate and have a bond and realize we're brothers and sisters in the family of God. There are no big ones and there are no little ones. We all stand even yonder at the foot of Calvary. And oh, I'm going to tell you, Abraham's kinfolk affected him. Our kinfolk ought to affect us. So a messenger came back and told Abram, he said, "Your brother's boy has been taken by the kings. They've got everything they've got." And the Bible said, verse 14, Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house,
318. Pursued them unto Divan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. Now only 318 men have taken and they put armies to flight. He brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. So here Abraham took his men. He had trained servants. It would do America good to realize that a lot of downtime in our military is not good for our military servants, but they ought to be having training every day of their life, realizing fundamental policies as Abraham did with his army. They were hand-picked and they were home-trained. Abraham raised his army around an altar, around the thing of tent, a way of passing. Oh, our military, way too many times, give way too many vices to its soldiers, and they tempt them, and they go out to the nightclubs and the affairs of this world, and our soldiers become weak. But not Abram's army. They were trained men. They were fighting men. I'm going to tell you, if there's ever been a time and a day and an hour when the church has got weak in training men, women, boys, and girls to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. God never saved us to roll over and somebody say boo and we run. God's intended all of His children to put their chin up and their shoulders back and their eyes toward glory land world and realize if He be for us, who can be against us? It's no time for the family of God to run. Well, it's time that we stand and contend for the faith that God left His church to stand by. It's amazing what an army can do with God on them. Only some 300 few men. They wiped out a total army that was held by four kings. I wish our president would get in his head today that it ain't the men, it's the God on the men. If there's ever been a time that America needs God, she needs God today. Oh my, it's not in the numbers, it's who with the number. I'm glad God is still with the family of God. And I realize America's still the greatest nation that's ever waved a flag. But honey, America's took some inroads wrong. She better get her eyes fixed on heaven. She better get her face back in the Bible and realize that God can win our battles. It's not in philosophy. It's not in education. And it's not in being a socialist. But it is drawing a line in the sand saying, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's no time to run to the world. It's time to fight for what God's given us to fight for. Now you'll notice that all of a sudden two kings come after the fight's over. They come to Abram. Abram's went, he's got his brother's boy back, his nephew Lot, got all his belongings. And look what happens in Genesis 14:17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his turn from the slaughter. The kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is a king's dale. And Melchizedek king, the second king of Salem, one from Sodom, one from Salem. Brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and of the earth. He said, blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. He said, Abram, you ain't done that, but your God's done it. And then the Bible said, and Abram, he gave him tithes of all. Now, I want to say right here, Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem simply means the land of peace or Jerusalem. Many people feel that there was a theophany of Christ. You'll notice in the book of Hebrews, there the writer explains about Melchizedek. He had no beginning, nor he had no ending. I'm glad the Lord Jesus, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God didn't create Jesus. Jesus was there as the Word from the beginning. Therefore, no doubt, the Lord appeared unto Abram. Matter of fact, the Lord reminded Abram, you've not done this. Your God's done this. Look around here at this ministry, people. We ain't done this. Our God has done this. Be careful to give Him all the honor and all the glory where all the honor and the glory is due. It's not about a preacher and it's not about a singer, but it's about a group of blood-washed people that's come together out of this world to study an old-fashioned Bible and preach it without apology and realize that God is still in the blessing business this morning. The Bible said He paid Him tithes of all. I want to say something to help you right here. You're not going to get very far with God till you learn to tithe. A lot of people say, well, tithing come by the law. No, honey, this was way before the law was ever given. Moses ain't come to deliver Abraham's children yet. Abraham embedded in the Bible that great principle of giving God a tenth of all that He had. God loves a cheerful giver. If I could give you two statements today that would change every young couple in this church, number one would be an altar of praying. Don't miss where you pray every day. And then secondly, don't forget about your giving as unto the Lord. We try to teach your children giving every day. I hear a lot of people say, well, that preacher's all about money. Well, honey, you too crippled, too high for crutches this morning. I believe in the Bible. I believe in this verse just like I do John 3:16. You wonder maybe why you ain't being blessed. You ought to trust God with the things you've got. And show Him, Lord, I'm trusting You. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes money gets thin and times get hard. I had to write a check this morning on faith. Say, God, I'm giving more to missions this year. I'm trusting You. I can't ask my people to do something I'm not doing myself. I'm going to tell you, faith is never convenient. Some of you quit looking down. Just go to paying your tithe and look up. It's fair for everybody. 10%. If you make 1,000 or you make 100, it's fair. Everybody give their part, and God blesses that. Oh, honey, God blesses that part. I'll never forget. He's a Church of God man down the road. He's a repairman. What's his name? Dees. Kenneth Dees. Boy, I'm talking about a blessing man. Me and Renee first got married, and I just got saved. We had a washing machine. We couldn't keep it working for nothing. Every time I turned around, she said, call that Dees man in Ramford. He'll come fix my washing machine. I said, honey, you need to back off that washing machine. He's in there working one day, and he's a whistling, singing a song about Jesus. I said, where you go to church, Brother Dees? He said, I'll go down Ramburn. He said, been going there a long time. He said, I love old-fashioned preaching and going to church. He said, I pay my tithes. When he done that, the Holy Ghost went off in me and he said, you know what, big boy? I'm going to get your tithe money one way or another. Whether you got to give it to a washing machine repair man, and then he'll go to giving your tithe. I decided this. I don't want nobody else giving my part. I want to give my part. So it gets on my account. Somebody help me preach and don't get quiet this morning. I'm glad we got a God that can be trusted. And honey, when it don't look like it's going to add up, God's formula will always work. Give that which is unto God. He'll bless you real good. Don't say nothing about what somebody else is driving unless you're paying your tithes. You know, you can't share your blessing with everybody. But I guarantee you one thing, friend, God blesses those that put Him first. I think we ought to pay our tithes. Paul was shipwrecked. They built up a fire. He contributed to what they was doing. Some of y'all ought to get on, help build the fire up. You enjoying the warmness, throw some wood on, amen. Look on up here, get you some preaching this morning. Or that preacher preaching about money. Yeah, twice a year, you can handle it. I'm telling you this so you can get blessed. So you can have things that money cannot buy. Yes, I pay my tithe. I give big to missions. And honey, let me tell you, I don't live in the fanciest place in town, but I got something money can't buy. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. I'm glad that I'm used of God this morning. And I say, hallelujah, what a Savior that's been so good to me in spite of who I am. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, according to Malachi chapter number 3 and 4. He said, when the devil comes in to rob you blind, I'm going to put watchdogs about you and be sure you've seen about it. You say, preacher, we can't afford to tithe. No, listen to your man of God this morning. You cannot afford not to tithe. Give that which is God. He said, will a man rob God? Yes, Jesse James is in the church. Bonnie and Clyde's. We ain't got no Bonnies. We ain't got no Clydes, have we? Sometimes I say, just go with the flow. No intention, Miss Flo. The great I Am still is. Now, I gave you this background to get here. Why did God tell him these things? After these things, the word of the Lord came to him in a vision saying, fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. And thy exceedingly great reward. Look what happens. Old King Sodom raises his head up. He walks down in there after Melchizedek leaves, and him and Abram had a Holy Ghost service. The Bible said, verse 21, and the king had been a Holy Ghost service. Man went to giving his stuff away. The king of Sodom said to Abram, walks up, says, two kings appear. One God and one the devil. This is what he says. I've noticed this. After every great victory, you're offered some things in your life. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons that you got and take the goods to yourself. He said, I don't want their goods. I want their souls. I don't want their trinkets. I want their souls. Give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. And I love Abraham. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I'll not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I'll not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich. He said, I want you to know, devil, God's been so good to me. I'm not going to give you the people. I ain't going to give you the money. I'm going to keep what God has given me. And to God be the honor and the glory. He said, you give me all of them battle spoils, you'll go off a hobnoggin saying, look how I blessed Abram. Honey, I come to tell you this morning, there's only one that you can count on day in, day out, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He is the Lord and He changes not. The I Am still is today. He said, I want him to take your flip-flop. He said, you take your stuff. I don't want it. He said, you ain't getting this and the people. You know, that's just like the devil. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his only soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his only soul? Abram knew that he would not bow to the spoils of the devil. You know, the devil offers to give up substance for souls. And he still does that in this day and this hour. So all of a sudden, after the king of Sodom walks off, God said after these things, He said something. He said, Abraham, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I want to say that the great I Am still is. He's the protection supplier. God protects all of His children. He said, listen to me, Abram, you done right. And I'm going to protect you through every battle that you make. Aren't you glad when you went looking, there was a God looking in on you? Aren't you glad when you was making decisions according to the Word of God, there was a God looking in about you, protecting you?
I sure am glad that the great I am still is. I want to say, secondly, not only do we see that He is the protective supplier, but I want to say, secondly, He's the peace giver. Now, He said, fear not. It's an awful thing to be scared about where you're going to die and spend eternity. I'm glad He said that I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm glad I'm not worried about where I'm going when I die. Now, isn't it something that He said, fear not? I want to say not only do we find that He's the protector, but He's the peace giver. Look where Abraham gets something settled. Chapter 15 and verse number 2. Right at this verse, Abram said, Lord, God, what wilt Thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar the Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me Thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. Look in verse 6. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, here's the doctrine of imputation. I'm glad that God imputes things on our account. Notice this, He simply said, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God said, I'm going to impute to you righteousness, Abram, by simple thing of faith. Nothing's changed by that today. We're still saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you know that in this doctrine of the teaching of the Word of God found in verse number 6, there are three types of imputation? I want to show you one in Romans 5, verse 12, because it's a problem that everybody in the building has had in Romans chapter number 5. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 12. I'm glad He's the peace giver today. Now, in Romans 5, verse number 12, let's look what the Bible says. Let's be a Bible church, be Bible preachers. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In other words, when you were born in your heritage, the reason we must be born again, because we're born wrong. Our family tree goes all the way back to the garden of Adam and Eve. And God said, inspired by the Holy Ghost, by one man sin in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's why we've all got to be born again. We were born wrong the first time. Honey, you can work your fingers to the bone trying to do good, but there's no good in us without that the imputed righteousness of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. I told your children, grades 6, 7, and 8 Wednesday night, was any of them saved? A lot of preachers won't try to get in trickery and professions. Let me tell you, it takes the Holy Spirit of God to come upon a sinner for them to get saved. That's the Spirit's work. We're to do the Scripture's work. We're just to preach the gospel. I told them children, if God was not knocking on their heart right now, they're safe with Jesus. I was walking down the road the other day with Parker. And I asked Parker something about dying. He said, well, no, it was Livy. She said, Pop, talk about dying. I said, well, won't that be one? We go to heaven. And she said, but I've not been saved. I said, well, Livy, but you're safe. She said, I safe, Pop. I safe. Aren't you glad your children are in safekeeping in the eyes of God?
the psalmist David lost his child because of adultery with Bathsheba. He died, and there he put on sackcloth and ashes. They came and said, David, why are you clearing up? What are you doing? He said, oh my. He said, he cannot come to where I am, but I can go to where he is. I'm glad God's got all of our little ones in safe keeping. There'll be a day that you each reach an age of accountability. I don't know what that number is. The Bible don't give it. It's a time when you realize you're a sinner and you need Jesus. When you know the difference in right and wrong, you become accountable to God in this Bible. That's why some of you, you're older and you bother me. You've never been saved by the grace of God. It bothers me that you listen to preaching week after week and you're not concerned about your eternity. Eternity's too long to be wrong. It's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you better get saved before you meet God. Abraham believed. God counted to him for righteousness. Now we see there's the sin of Adam upon mankind. That's one imputation. In other words, we all become sinners. But then the second part, not only the sin of Adam upon mankind, but the sin of mankind was put upon Christ. That's an amazing thing of this concept of that we're talking about of the imputation. God imputing. Did you know that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus had never known sin, had never done sin, but the Bible said He became sin for us. What the Bible said. God put every sin me and you would ever commit upon His Son on the cross, and He died for them, the ultimate sacrifice. The Bible simply says this. He said in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2 and verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God, honey, you better believe it's the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through that of suffering. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Turn there to the right in your Bible. 1 Peter 2, verse number 24. For the Bible simply says this. He says, who His own self bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but now return the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So there's two types of that of imputing so far. First of all, it's the sin of Adam upon all mankind. That's why everybody in the world must be saved. We're born sinners. Secondly, there was a sin of mankind put upon the Savior. It's an amazing thing what God done on that cross that day. But then thirdly, it's when the saintliness of God is put upon the believer. If you're going to heaven, you're only going to heaven by this way, that God has imputed unto you righteousness by His Son. The word imputed simply means this, the act of one person adding something good or bad to the account of another person. Now let's look at it in Philippians chapter 3. In verse number 7, turn over to the left in your Bible there in Philippians chapter number 3. And I want to show you a good verse there this morning. The book of Philippians chapter number 3. Find this in your Bible, verse number 7. He said, but what things, Paul's writing, were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count not all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the only way you're going to heaven today.
what Jesus done for me and you on a cross, we must believe in that. And God said He would impute that Christ's righteousness to us. Romans 3, verse 21. Last place I go there. Romans 3, verse number 21. Underline this in your Bible and look at it this week. It sure will be a blessing to you. Romans chapter number 3. I want to look now in verse number 21. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law of the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon them that believe, for there's no difference. For all sin comes short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or an appeasement or satisfaction through faith in His blood, declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. This is it in a nutshell, and I go to point three and I'm done. This thing of imputing, God has imputed to me righteousness, not of works that I could do, is all by grace through faith of what I believe what His Son would do for me. This thing of imputation, you see, the sin of Adam was placed on all mankind. That's why you don't have to teach your children to lie, to throw a fit. It comes natural. That's why they need discipline and child rearing. Number two, He said another thing of imputation when God took on the cross and He laid all of your sin and my sin on His Son and He died, the ultimate sacrifice for sinners. Not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Yes, it takes repentance to be saved. You've got to be sorry of who you are and what you've done and turn to Christ. Then thirdly, it's when God imputes His Son's righteousness to you by faith. When you come and believe what God has done for you on a cross through His Son, you can be born again by the grace of God. And He gives you Christ's righteousness. It's not your own merit, and you don't keep working to keep it. It's a done deal. When He imputes Christ's righteousness on you, you have eternal life. You act different than you used to. The problem with some folks saying, well, you got it and lose it. The problem is they never got it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. I ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. When you sin and the Holy Ghost lives in you, don't He show you you've done wrong? It don't mean that you're no longer a child. It means you're not in fellowship. I'm glad I'm His youngin', but I want to stay in fellowship. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The judgment seat will try our works. We don't get into heaven because of our works. We get in by what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Thirdly and lastly, I know it's been long. I may have studied too much this morning. But I will say today, I sure am glad the great I Am still is. He's the protector. He supplies. He's the peace giver. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I sure am glad that only Jesus gives you peace. You try this. Try all the booze. Try the pills. Try the women. Try the men. Try all the illicit things of this old sinful world, and you'll never have peace till you know the Lord Jesus Christ. May bring you a little happiness, but you always remember this, friends. Happiness comes in happenings. I can be saved and sad. Jesus gives you joy. Peace. Have you ever been saved? Look at your preacher this morning. What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't warn you about eternity? There's a young man killed in Rockmart this morning by exposure. Don't know his name. I prayed for him. He stepped out and met God this morning. I wish I could tell you just because you're 14, 15, you'll live to my age, but I can't. This Bible can't let me declare that to you. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Eternity's too long to be wrong. Don't gamble with your soul, you'll lose.
Jesus and only Jesus gives life. I'm not a socialist preacher and this is not a socialist church. Muslims is going to die and go to hell without Jesus, and I make no bones about that. Atheists will die and go to hell without God. Any religious person will die without Christ will die and go to hell in their sins. Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. I'm not going to be a hireling and sell out and let your children die and go to hell. I'm going to stand before God of what I preached one morning. Thirdly, the great I Am still is. You believe that? The I Am still is. He's our protection. He's our peace. And I want to say this, thirdly and lastly, He's the promise keeper. God gave Him a covenant. And I sure do hope I can preach on that one Sunday night, but I want to say something on this covenant. He got saved. God told Abram, He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. He said, I'm going to make you all the children as the stars of heaven. He said, look up yonder and count them all. He said, Abram, you're thinking too little about how I'm going to bless you. Not only did He say, fear not, for I am thy shield, but He said, I am thy exceedingly reward. God's done more for me than I could ever imagine. God's done more for you than you could ever imagine. God has given you more than you ever deserved. And it's all because of His Son on an old rugged cross that brought us in the family of God and the blessings of God could be put upon us. I say hallelujah. You ought to make a Baptist shout this morning. I'm glad He's the promise keeper. Some of them boys is joining that promise keeper club. I wouldn't join it because I don't keep my promises. I don't. There's a family give me a cat, and I think of, they ain't here this morning. I halfway promised to keep him in the house. I done backed off on my promise. They locked one boy up in Carrollton this week for hitting a deer on the back of his truck. Well, what are they supposed to do with a deer up on your truck and come alive? Tell what you do, you hit him in the head. What you do, the biting dog gonna eat you up. I ain't calling 911. Gun control. Folks, tickle me these background checks. Them thugs break up in your door and say, stop the violence. Did you do a background check what you just killed my family with? Crazy people. Crazy people. Go and vote that way. You'll be shooting marbles in 20 years. Anybody glad to save this morning? I got preaching, quit preaching, went to rambling. I get in trouble when I'm rambling, but I like rambling sometimes. Did I tell you the great I Am still is? He can do anything. Let's do this. We're going to do it. Miss Emily, I want you to come here. I want you to play me something on that piano this morning. This is what I want to tell you. He's your protection. God's been seeing about you when you never know about it. You know what you ought to do? Not having service tonight. You ought to gather around us all and say, God, I just want to thank you that you've protected me on some decisions I've made. And God, I need to be encouraged because you've told me, fear not. I've done according to this Bible, and God, your God can be trusted. Maybe some of you here this morning, you've never been saved. Sir, you're going to meet God one of these days. And you better know His Son if you go into heaven. Because if you don't know His Son, hell's going to be your home, and ain't no two ways about it. Thirdly, God's made a great covenant with Abraham. Glad God's made a covenant with His children. He's going to see about us. Miss Emily, as you play, I want to open this altar this morning. First of all, I want to tell you this. If you've never been saved and God's dealing with your heart, won't you come trust His Son to save you this morning?
And some of you, you realize that it's going to take God to win your battles. And you're going to realize some battles you've done won, it's going to take God to keep the enemy off of you. Won't you come this morning, gather around this altar and praise my sister. Play. Whatever you need in the house of the Lord, I want to tell you today, He's the Lord. He's the great I Am. And I want to tell you, He still is today. He's still everything He said that He would be. And more. He said, I want you to know that I'll be exceedingly reward. He said, you're thinking about things too little. He said, I can bless you in ways you never thought. You just make Him be your God. He said He would see about you according to all of His riches and glory. He's the peace giver today. He can give you peace in your situation. If you've never been saved, it'd be a good morning to trust Him to be your Savior. I sure am glad. The Bible says for what God does, He does forever. Why did God say, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ? Honey, I may not be perfect, but I know I'm saved and glory world lives inside of me. And when I do wrong, He chastises me about it. If you living wrong and not being punished about it, I check in, do you know Him today? I'm glad He's the great I Am and He still is. He's not changed about who He is. And He ain't changed about the way He does it. He's God. He does what He wants to do. I'm glad He's my Lord and my Savior today. I bless Him one day. Save me. I thank Him for it.